Recently, there's been much discussion about windowless passenger aircraft becoming the wave of the future. Based on the direction society is now moving, I'm sure it'll become a reality at some point. I also suspect that at some time, we'll see windows becoming either luxuries for the rich or old technology left for the poor. Think about it. We already have windowless offices. Even in many offices that still have windows, those windows are left for the upper class, highly paid, top executives. The rest of us schlubs work in windowless cubicles and never see outside during a working day, unless we're let out for recess. The kernel of the story was originally written in May of 2013, and many of you have heard it before, but it's been made relevant again today by the thought of windowless travel, and how, at least as I see it, most people won't even notice. Here's why. I was ready to fly JetBlue Flight 607, but it was over an hour late departing Portland, Maine. I wasn't worried, though. I'd already changed my connecting flight in JFK. All was well, and I just end up in Fort Lauderdale instead of West Palm Beach. Really, not that big of a deal. The Embraer E190 was far from full, with over 30 unfilled seats. In fact, I changed my place from 16A, what was called an even more legroom seat, to 25A, the last row of the aircraft that was completely empty. You see, that allegedly premium seat was positioned between windows. How could they sell a premium seat for more money when there wasn't even a window in that row? How little did I know. We took off to the west on runway 29 from PWM and started a bank south at about 1,000 feet. I had this whole row, both sides of it, to myself, and there was no one around me. It was the back of the plane, the ghetto in passenger aircraft, but I guess I can be pretty ghetto if I have to. Part of my heritage, I suppose. My people were the original ghetto dwellers. I never understood the strange phenomena of ghettoizing the back of an airplane when all the seats are the same. If you haven't paid for an upgrade, as I had, but ended up not using, all seats have the same pitch and the same recline. Why is everyone so concerned about being in the front of the plane? Is it that 2 minutes extra it just might take to get off the aircraft upon arrival really worth the struggle to sit up front? After takeoff and our bank to the south as we climbed out, I could see the horseshoe curves of Scarborough Marsh. Just a bit further east, I could see Pine Point in Scarborough, Maine, and could even make out my friend's house by the beach. The E-190 continued to climb, and we were headed toward New York. It was a beautiful, clear day, and I was looking east out my window with the entertainment system set to the moving map so I could track our speed and altitude. We were flying right down Interstate Route 95, only at 18,000 feet. I could see Portsmouth, New Hampshire clearly, the Piscataqua River, the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, and the submarine Albacore Memorial Park. Off in the distance, out in the Atlantic, was the Isle of Shoals. It was stunning. I glanced up to the seatback screen. We were booking it, making up for lost time, traveling the JFK at 512 miles per hour at 21,000 feet. By now we were over Boston. I could clearly see the Zakim Bridge over the Charles River and even make out the cable stays. There was a Charleston Naval Shipyard, and Old Ironsides, that's the USS Constitution. Further to the east, Logan Airport was clear as a bell. A moment later, we were over Providence, Rhode Island, and Greene Airport. Newport was clearly visible, and I could even see some of the old stately mansions from the 19th century. We cruised past Newport, and I was looking back at it, when I realized I could see the tail of the E-190 from my seat. That was a first for me from a commercial aircraft. I looked up inside the plane and down the aisle to the flight deck door. In all honesty, I couldn't believe what I saw. Everyone in the plane was looking at one or two screens at the same time. Most had their window shades down. I wanted to stand up and scream, shout out loud, "Hey, you guys, we're flying! We're moving at 512 miles per hour, almost 4 miles high in the air! Hey, don't you know you're riding on a moving map?" I couldn't believe the complacency and lack of interest. If this flight had been advertised as a narrated guided tour, people would pay thousands of dollars for it. But as an $80 airline flight, it was simply an inconvenience. We crossed Long Island Sound, and I could clearly see the North and South Forks of Long Island, Block Island, and the Hamptons in Montauk. We started to slow down and descend. Then came an announcement from the flight deck. JFK had ATC delays and was putting us in a holding pattern. There was a collective moan from the cabin. Frankly, I'm surprised anyone heard it. but I was delighted, really happy about it, actually. We made our turn to the east and headed back north. I was now looking across Long Island Sound towards Connecticut. I could make out New Haven, Bridgeport, and Stamford. This flight just couldn't get any better. But then it did. We were now at 12,000 feet, 300 miles per hour, and made another turn when I saw it. An American 777, in what was then the new livery. Airplane spotting from 12,000 feet. Wow! I watched it until it was out of sight. Another turn, and it got better again. A beautiful, big green bird against a clear blue sky. An Aer Lingus A330, but closer. An announcement from the flight deck told passengers not to panic and explained ATC separation standards to keep passengers calm. But there was no panic. No one had even noticed. Everyone's head was buried in an electronic screen. All the shades were down. No one had seen the other planes but me, and I sure wasn't panicked. One last turn, and we were cleared to land. What a shame. I was intentionally the last one off the plane and stopped by the flight deck to thank the captain and first officer for a wonderful ride. I'm not sure if they were happy or puzzled that a 50-something-year-old man had an ear-to-ear grin on his face like a little boy. I had one more surprise in store for me, another first, and another reason why windows are important to me, not just on aircraft, but at airports. When I got to JFK's Terminal 5 and looked across from my arrival gate out the big-picture window, on the other side from where we were parked, I got to see my first Airbus A380. Thank you, Singapore Airlines. It was parked right next to a Virgin Atlantic A340, which gave me great perspective. That A380 may be ugly, but it's one big monster. Seeing them together once again showed me that the A340 is my favorite-looking Airbus. What fine lines. But that's another story. So, windowless commercial airplanes? Probably not for me. Substitute TV screens for windows? Not my idea of flying either. I mean, why bother to go to all that trouble? Why not just see far-off lands or meet people on TV as well? My guess, though, after a bit of public uproar, we'll see the windows go away, and soon after that, the TV screens, too. After all, why would anyone want to look outside? No one does anyway. For Jetwine, here in Portland, Maine, this is your main man, Micah.